Charlie Hinton had the perfect life.
We're shutting down the whole division.
Now,
see you later.
He's setting his sights a little lower.
The daycare center.
I'll be just as careful with him as I am with Ben.
Oh, hey, man, don't be just rubbing your head into stuff.
This man.
Don't panic. Hey!
Eddie Murphy.
I missed.
What?
Daddy Daycare, rated PG, in theaters everywhere May 9th.
No, it took me 2 hours, but I got through it. I kept having to pause it and rewind because, like, fuck, shit, I forgot how they got here.
Oh, I'll admit, I kind of skimmed through the last, like, half hour, I think.
I zoned out during the middle. One of the montages, I was just like, I don't have to pay attention to this.
You mean one of, I think, four montages?
Yeah, and then by the time the montage was over, I was like, oh, fuck, I missed everything that happened in the montage. I think they're good daddies now. All right, well, I'm going to open this can. Do you like it, a juice?
Do you like it, a juice? Sorry, I wasn't ready. Oh.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump right into it. Welcome to Saturday Night Jive, the podcast where we talk about Saturday Night Live related movies. This one is a real treat because if you're an avid fan of our podcast, we are now finishing the Daddy Daycare trilogy.
Well, we're now finishing the weird sort of Lynchian watching it in reverse thing that we did for no reason.
I know. And doesn't it piss you, like, make you more pissed off at the sequels now that you saw the first one?
Well,
because I'm like, the sequels have nothing to do with this movie. Like, they're just taking the brand and, like, but for some reason, Cuba Gooding Jr. had to be the same character. Like, I remember
I had to text you to ask, because, like, I was, like, starting to wonder if I'd seen this before, because there's a joke in this movie that I'm pretty sure was in one of the sequels, I think the Cuba Gooding Jr. one, that, like, they do literally exactly. And I think it might have also been in the original trailer, like, where he goes into the bathroom, because the kid went to the bathroom, and then he, like, looks around, and, like, there's poop everywhere, including on the ceiling. I know that was in one of the sequels.
When I saw that scene too, when I saw Eddie Murphy smelling all the poop, I was like, I've seen this before.
Oh, and I got to talk about that because we got, once again, this movie is replete with fart jokes and poop jokes, which,
oh yeah,
who fucking needs them? But I got a story to tell because, you know, we're still recording this on Skype and we're social distancing. But, you know, once a week I like to, you know, get something out. I talked about this in the previous podcast. I like to kind of get a sense of normalcy. So I go out and, you know, support a local business.
Like, and for the Chick-fil-A. A local business.
What? Chick-fil-A? It's right down the street from my house. That's local. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, the mom and pop Chick-fil-A.
It's the franchise.
Sorry. Continue.
Anyway. So, but, like, for the last, like, 3 weeks, I've been thinking, I don't know if you know that there's a place called Flipside. It's a burger place at Easton. I was like, oh, I really like their burgers. I'm going to get there. But then for whatever reason, I didn't get around to doing it. Like, I just go to someplace closer. So finally this week, mom's going shopping over there. So, oh, why don't I get you a Flipside burger? I said, oh, that'd be great. And again, I've been waiting for it for a while. And then she gets it. She brings it to me. And the movie's already started. I've been watching it. But then she gives me my burger. Oh, it's my favorite burger. It's the Sean burger with the bacon and eggs on it, and then I sit down to eat it, and it's literally like 2 minutes after I start eating that we get the, hey, look, your kid is shitting in his pants, look at his shit face, and then the montage of I'm gonna get peed in my face because I'm trying to change a diaper. It's like, oh, thank you for ruining the meal I've been waiting for like 3 fucking weeks.
Jeff Garland, like, cleans up a shitty diaper, and then he looks right in the camera and he's like, bon appetit, Ben.
It was so fucked up. And then, like, the ooze of the egg is oozing out of my burger, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want this anymore.
Isn't it kind of weird that, like, you know, this COVID-19 thing's going on, but, like, it's not really affecting my life at all. Like, everyone I know is employed, everyone's doing okay, nobody's sick. We're still watching shitty movies and eating fucking burgers while we see Jeff Garland take a shit. Like, Greta Thunberg is saving the whales. I'm writing down the timestamps of the fart jokes in Daddy Day Camp. My life is exactly the same.
So is your list of fart jokes just like every minute of the movie? Is that...
Well, every time I would fart, I would look at the time and it'd be like fart 29 minutes, fart 36 minutes. But I just think it's weird that like I'm still doing that, and then you know you turn on the news and it's like 70,000 dead, and I'm like, fuck, man, should I do something? Nah, I'm gonna watch Daddy Day Camp.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it before we started recording that we've both been working from home. I mean, I was doing that more anyway, but I mean, I know you're going a little stir crazy over there.
Oh yeah, I am. I miss the act of driving into the office and driving home from the office. Like it separated the work day from the personal day. So now sometimes I get off work and I'm just like, should I still be working? Like I'm already in my office. Like I haven't showered yet. Like there's no separation between. So that's why I've started like taking my dog for like long walks and then taking like a long shower just to like, okay, I have to get my mind out of work now.
Oh, speaking of farts and employment, that's another story. The other day, I guess it would have been Monday, I was at work and I farted and it was on a call. And it was loud enough that there was no way the lady on the phone didn't hear me. She was polite enough not to mention it, but it was like an awkward silence and an awkward thing just hanging over the rest of the call. First time that ever happened to me. Oh,
well, I go over your survey comments that people fill out for you. So if I see one that says the representative I talked to farted very loudly. I didn't want to say anything.
Still, 5 stars. But anyway.
We digress. Let's get into Daddy Friggin' Day Camp.
Sorry,
all right, so
I have farts on the brain. I just watched Daddy Day Camp.
I know. Why are we talking so much about farts? All right, because we just watched a movie all about farts. Wait, before we get into Daddy Day Care, I keep saying Daddy Day Camp. We watched Daddy Day Care. This is the first one.
The original.
Did you happen to glance at the awards that this was nominated for in the IMDb section?
I assume they were all Razzies, right?
No, it did not get nominated for any Razzies. I was surprised by that. But Daddy Day Care was nominated for 3 Kids' Choice Awards.
Really?
Favorite movie, favorite movie actor Eddie Murphy, and favorite fart in a movie.
That's not real.
That says it on the internet.
Somebody has edited Wikipedia. There's no fucking way. I will lose all faith in humanity.
It's the Kids' Choice Awards. I wouldn't put it past them to have a favorite fart category.
It's funny, as you were reading those off, I was thinking, like, really, the Kids' Choice Awards, your awards are favorite? Like, that just seems like it takes some of the gravitas away from an award show. And then you throw out favorite fart, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Who cares?
Oh, would it make it better if it was most outstanding fart in a movie?
Yeah, or just even best fart, you know?
That would give it more class.
I feel like it would.
Gregory Peck shows up to deliver that one. And for the achievement in farts in a motion picture.
But before we give out this award, here's a montage of all the farts we've lost this year. Just close-ups of asses.
Fucking get some fucking actress out there to read a cue card. Farting is an art form. One that we take for granted. Favorite fart in a movie. But it does not say which fart, though. It does not specify which fart was nominated. Also, I should have looked this up. Which fart won? Wait, hold on.
Wait a minute. So it was nominated. That implies that normally nominations, you have to have at least like 5, right? Were there 5 farts that year that they were like, oh, we can't decide?
Hold the fart phone. I gotta look something up here. I saw that Daddy Daycare was nominated for Best Fart in a Motion Picture. But I did not take a glance at the Kids' Choice Awards to see what was nominated. And more importantly, what was the best fart of 2003?
What was this? Yeah, 2003. What was out in 2003? And I love that the internet just has this information, by the way.
And the nominees are Daddy Daycare, Finding Nemo, Good Boy, and the winner is Kangaroo Jack. You think like the ADR guy who created the fart for Daddy Gate Daycare like went to the Kids' Choice Awards and then cried when his name wasn't called? Who accepts the award for best fart? The fart itself?
Well, no, I think it would be the Foley artist, wouldn't it?
This movie, Daddy Daycare, has farts in the blooper credits, but like the fart itself is not a blooper.
And just the fact that it even has blooper credits, because these are some of the lamest. Like, we've talked about blooper credits a lot, but this is just like, hey, the little kid actor we hired sucks. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's a lot of people flubbing their lines, a lot of Eddie Murphy interacting with the children. And that the stuff in the blooper credits with, like, Eddie Murphy, like, not performing and he's just, like, being with the kids was almost, for me, more entertaining. Like, I felt his performance was, like, alive when I was like, oh, Eddie Murphy's just being himself. Like, he's actually charming in these blooper credits. In the movie, he's just kind of, like, wooden and dead and not funny at all.
I'm just going to throw this out here, by the way. A Mighty Wind also came out in 2003. The whole title of that movie is a fart joke. I feel like that should have been nominated.
That's an excellent fart. To explain the blooper credits here, there's blooper credits of all, you know, the people like, we flubbed our lines. And then there's just a shot of a kid farting. Like, is the fart a blooper? Like, was he not supposed to be farting? I think they just put an extra fart in the blooper credits because they were like, oh, shit, it's been about like 15 minutes since someone's farted. We better throw it in the blooper credits.
And again, I feel like I've mentioned this before. We have done this. We have made things where there were farts in the blooper credits. But to be fair, they were actual farts. It wasn't like we just threw a fart in because we thought it'd be funny. The actor on screen actually farted, and it was picked up on the mic. So I feel like it was, as I always say, diegetic to the scene.
No, this fart was ADR'd because it was just a kid like standing there and then just fart noises. Yeah. So it's not like the kid was like, oops, the kid farted, that's funny. This was just like, in the blooper credits, they were like, well, let's put that kid farting up in there. Ugh.
And that's a lot of the farts in this franchise, in this very fart-centric franchise, are ADR farts.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Inanimate objects fart sometimes.
The first fart is at, if you're curious, it's at 29 minutes. That's when Eddie Murphy and Jeff Garlin are feeding the kids chocolate, and then one of the kids just farts real loud. And then
Can we just not talk about the movie and only talk about the farts?
Talk about the farts? It's really the only part worth talking about. The second fart is at 36 minutes and 35 seconds. And this is when there were a lot of farts, because this is when Jeff Garlin's kid is about to shit his pants.
Yes. Then we get. This is when I was trying to eat a meal and could not.
Ben puts a tasty burger up to his lips, and then Jeff Garlin's kid is just like, and then they talk about it. They're like, oh my god, it's happening. It's going to be like the mega shit. And then there's a flashback of Jeff Garlin trying to change his baby's diaper, but he cracks under the pressure. And then so Eddie Murphy takes the kid to the bathroom, and then he goes into the bathroom, he looks all around, and it, apparently we don't see the shit. Thank god we didn't see the shit. But apparently it's everywhere. Like, he's looking up on the ceiling, up on the walls, on the floor. He's looking all around the room and only seeing shit.
And I feel like I said, I think they replicated this scene, this joke, in the second one, in the Cuba Gooding Jr. one. And I want to say it's like beat for beat, like the way the directions he looks and then he looks up. I think it's like exactly the same. That's why I was like, I had to have seen this before. It's fucking exact.
Well, thankfully, you know, to the heavens above, I don't have total recall of Daddy Day Camp. That movie has left my brain. But I do remember a scene where he goes into an outhouse. It's like the porter potty, and he's supposed to unclog it. So maybe that's the scene.
I think it is. I was going to say a missed opportunity. At the end of the movie, Angelica Houston plays the villain, and she gets her comeuppance where she's in this really extreme situation, and she's become a crossing guard. She should have farted.
Would have been a perfect capper to her character.
Because it'd be like, oh no, I can't take care of all these cars. Oh no, my gas. She would refer to it that way because she's very prim and proper.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember Granddaddy Daycare now. Did that have a lot of farts in it? I don't remember.
Well, it had the one scene in the bathroom, so I would assume that Barney Miller farted.
That's true. Barney Miller did go in the bathroom. There had to have been a fart in there. So yeah, this franchise is nothing but consistent because there's always a scene where somebody goes into a bathroom and is like, whoa, look at all this shit. Like when they're writing the script, they're like, well, we need to keep that intact.
I want us to make our own like independent sequel, just calling it Daddy Day Fart. The exact same formula, but just literally nothing but farts.
It's a movie where like we collect a bunch of farts and we have to take care of them, but we don't know what we're doing.
I mean, if you don't hire a third person, then these farts will have to go to the stuffy daycare center that Angelica Houston runs. They're going to have to wear uniforms.
There's like a mean fart and like a bowler hat. Like, oh no.
That fart learned to read.
All right. So, what do you want to talk about with Daddy Daycare? Hey, there ain't a lot.
Okay. Well, okay. First off, the very beginning of this movie, did we need to stop Walking on Sunshine? Which, for the record, is the laziest use of Walking on Sunshine in a movie. That's a song you use when, like, crazy shit's happening and everybody's partying. This is like a kid just walking around his house. I'm walking on sunshine, but we stopped the music because we need to hear him pee? That was necessary.
Well, along those same lines, there is a joke that I enjoyed that's like kind of in that same structure. It's when Jeff Garland gets kicked in the nuts. And then like it's in the middle of a montage and then Jeff Garland just gets randomly kicked in the nuts for no reason. It's just he's like handing out a flyer at a grocery store and a kid just kicks him in the nuts. But then the music stops all of a sudden and you just see Jeff Garland on the floor going like, ugh, ugh. And I hate to admit that I laughed at that scene.
I will say, though, the montage music game is better in this movie. They got, I mean, they had a bigger budget to get actual good songs. I distinctly remember the second film was just a lot of like, what fucking ska punk shit can we find?
Oh, and I think the third film had no budget. It was, oh no, what was the song that the kids sang? Don't you remember?
Right, I fucking forgot about that.
I did too until it just crawled back in my brain. Remember the kid in Granddaddy Daycare who sang "Don't You Forget About Me"?
And I think it was like a montage, wasn't it? Like, wasn't it intercut with shit, like it like fading in and out?
And then they cut to Danny Trejo pulling like a thing of brownies out of the oven. Why did we choose to watch this series? I mean, let's not even talk about the fact that we also watched it in reverse order. Why did we think at all that any of these movies would give us any pleasure?
I'm struggling to even remember who the person is from Saturday Night Live that was in Granddaddy Daycare. Do you even remember?
Garrett Morris.
Of course it was Garrett Morris. Fuck you, Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris in Granddaddy Daycare, Brian Doyle Murray in Daddy Day Camp, and now, ooh, and this one does have a cavalcade of SNL cast members. Not only do we get Eddie Murphy, but you get some Siobhan Fallon action, you get some Kevin Nealon, and you get a little bit of Laura Keitlinger thrown in.
Oh, I forgot she was on SNL, that's right.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at like a Mount Rushmore of Saturday Night Live, it's going to be Eddie Murphy in the middle, obviously.
Sure.
But then I think right to his left, Siobhan Fallon.
Is there another podcast out there that ever speaks so excitedly about Siobhan Fallon? Is there a Siobhan Fallon fan podcast out there that only watches Siobhan Fallon movies? I think not.
It's got to be us. We've seen so many Siobhan Fallon movies.
We're watching The Negotiator next week, I think, right?
Is she in that? I know she's in Men in Black.
Yeah, she's the secretary and the negotiator. That's what Men in Black, I remember, because she has like this really weird fucking accent that like just completely takes you out of the scene. I remember even like as a kid going, what the fuck is she doing?
I think it's a character. I always liked Siobhan Fallon. I thought she deserved a shot. I always like her when she shows up in movies. But I really liked her on SNL. She was only on one season as a featured player, but I thought she should have stayed on. She came on the same year as Melanie Hutzel.
I was about to mention Melanie Hutzel, and I feel like she's leagues ahead of Melanie Hutzel.
Yeah, they kept Melanie Hutzel and they cut Siobhan Fallon. I was like, oh no, they should have cut Melanie Hutzel, kept Siobhan Fallon. Siobhan Fallon was good. so that ends our Siobhan Fallon discussion.
Well,
anything
I mean,
more
eventually,
to say about Siobhan Fallon?
Eventually we'll get her on the list. I don't know if she's been taken out of this iteration of the list yet or not.
I think she's still on the list. And now that you say that, we are definitely going to be rolling Siobhan Fallon next. I guarantee it.
But no, I just... Because here's the thing. And this didn't occur to me until like well into the movie. But the setup is Eddie Murphy gets fired. And he gets fired for doing his job. They assign him this thing. It doesn't go well because it's trying to feed vegetables to kids. And then they're like, you couldn't feed vegetables to kids. You're fired. And then they're like, okay, what are we going to do to stave off bankruptcy? Oh, I know. Start a small business. The thing that fails like 90% of the time? That'll do it.
Well, I will give this movie more credit than the sequels. It did take a little more time to set up the premise. Like, if you remember in Daddy Day Camp, it's like minute three, and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s like, let's buy a camp, y'all! Like, for no reason. Like, there's absolutely no setup to that movie. This movie takes a little more time. You know, we establish Eddie Murphy as, like, a busy dad who doesn't have a lot of time for his kids, and then he gets fired, and then he doesn't know what to do. There's a montage of them looking for new daycares because they can't afford the daycare bill at the highfalutin school.
I actually laughed a little bit at that montage, especially the pit full of kids.
I did like that montage.
The guy pointing, pit full of kids.
That montage is in a way better movie than this movie. Because you get like a lady who's like smoking a cigarette right in front of a baby. And she's like, yeah, this is the preschool. And then you got, just kids locked in a basement. And then they pull up to a nice house and the cops are raiding the house and they're like, oh, let's get out of here. But
and
then
it happened early enough in the movie where I was like, I think this might be good. And then it wasn't.
Yeah. But no, then the rest of the movie is basically just, you know, kids running around and Eddie Murphy chasing them. But yeah, then it's 18 minutes in. I wrote it down when Eddie Murphy gets the idea. Hey, let's start Daddy Day Camp. Daddy Day Care. Sorry, I keep saying Daddy Day Camp.
Well, and you mentioned Daddy Day Camp, and we talked about that on that podcast where, like, why the hell did they make Cuba Gooding Jr. the same character? And having now seen this, it makes me even more perplexed because Eddie Murphy's character, as established in this movie, is not the kind of person who would just go, I'm going to buy a camp because I'm mad at the guy who beat me at summer camp 20 years ago. He doesn't seem like that kind of character. He seems very staid and professional.
Yeah, and like I said, it's kind of, in my opinion, a pretty lifeless performance from Eddie Murphy.
I think so. Yeah, especially because, like, there were moments where I definitely expected him to go crazier, like when he's with the kids, and he never does.
Yeah, it's a very muted performance, which is why, like I said, when you see the blooper credits, it's like he's kind of having fun in between takes, and I'm like, shit, I wish that fun was in the movie. Like, you had absolutely no fun in this movie.
That's why I suggested Pluto Nash. I feel like he's having fun in that. We're never going to watch Pluto Nash.
No. I don't think he's having fun in that. I mean, I think that if we watch that movie, it's going to be like another Golden Child situation where it's just going to be like, that was a boring fucking movie.
I just think you've got Randy Quaid as an android. You've got, I think Alec Baldwin plays a villain at one point.
I don't know. I'm just hesitant on it because, like, bad movies are only good if they're, like, fun. I don't know if that one's fun.
I mean, we watched fucking Norbit.
That's true. That's true. Can we just talk quickly? This isn't like a big factor in the plot of Daddy Daycare, as if there is a kind of a plot in Daddy Daycare. But like the fact that all the moms in the neighborhood who are like dropping their kids off at daycare are just like upset that they're men.
I wrote that down. Yeah. Because, like, and it didn't occur to me until it was brought up that, like, yeah, women would go, like, oh, what are you, a bunch of fucking pedophiles? Dudes that want to watch over kids? Because, like, I don't know, because, like, mannies are a thing now, but I don't, maybe not in 2003? I don't know.
What I wrote down is, like, it's 2003. Can't we be done with this Mr. Mom bullshit? Like, Mr. Mom works because, I mean, maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it. But in 1983, that was a thing that, like, wasn't, at least on TV. Like, dads didn't stay with the babies on TV. It's 2003. I thought we were past that cliche of, like, you know, dads do all the work and know nothing about raising the kids.
Well, but one, I would say this movie also employs that as a trope. That's the main impediment to them starting the daycare is they know nothing about their kids and don't seem to like kids.
Yeah.
But I will say, because it's not just that they're trying to start, it's just two dudes trying to start a daycare in their house. Like, if you walked up to, like, a guy at a lemonade stand going, hey, give me your babies, I think the first thing my thought would go, oh, that's John Wayne Gacy. Like, that's... I feel like it is kind of creepy.
And that's why it's weird how they present it in the movie when all the women are like, oh my God, I didn't know you were men. Like, I'm not going to leave my children with men. It's like, lady, you're going up to some, like, unlicensed daycare in some random neighborhood. Like, gender would not be my first thing. I'd be like, is this, like, an accredited daycare? Because you got lawn chairs out.
Evidently, at the time, it was not. We find that out later, that they didn't do any of the inspections or do any of the stuff that, like, you have to make to make it safe. They had to wait for somebody to file a complaint. Yes, an erroneous complaint, sure. But this is another one of those movies where it's like, at least for a while, I think Angelica Houston was right.
Oh, yeah. No, these guys don't go – the same thing happened in Granddaddy Daycare too. But they actually kind of made that more of the plot. Like, that was the villain was trying to shut him down. Like, this movie makes that guy – in this movie, that guy's played by Jonathan Katz, and he's more of a comical character. They have Angelica Houston as the villain. She runs a rival daycare. But I will say Granddaddy Daycare did this better, where they made the villain the guy who was actively trying to shut down the daycare and had the wherewithal to do so.
Yeah.
That's a more interesting story.
Especially because, like, in the Daddy Day Camp, it didn't make much sense why the rival camp owner wasn't just going, like, yeah, your camp sucks and everybody knows it. It'll close eventually. Like, it didn't make any sense why he had a vested interest in making it close sooner.
Well, word must be getting around about this daddy daycare, because that's what spurs Angelica Houston on to try to destroy it.
Well, she keeps losing kids to them because they're fun and she's not.
Yeah, kids are just running to this daddy. I mean, I guess it's probably cheaper. That's the big selling point. But I was wondering what the parents were saying, if they were like, oh, this unaccredited daycare down the street sounds good. It's getting very positive reviews.
But, like, I happen to know from not necessarily direct experience, but technically both of our stepbrothers, you're not necessarily as involved in that side of the family, but our stepdad's Ray's son, little Ray, did this. He built a daycare out of his house with his wife. They've since closed it down, but I know for a fact they had to, like, install a bunch of shit, like eyewash stations, and they had to insure all this before they were even able to open. They had to do all that stuff. So it makes no fucking sense that they're just able to go, like, yeah, stay in our house, and then eventually when someone says something, then we'll have to do all the shit.
No, yeah, this movie, in this movie, Eddie Murphy's just like, I think I'll start a daycare. Well, step one, print out flyers for a daycare. Step two, set up some lawn chairs on my yard and let people come to me.
And I think that's also how they did the day camp one. Didn't they hand out flyers to that as well? Wasn't that a montage?
I think so. But in that movie, he sells the camp to him outright, and he doesn't have to do any inspections there.
Yeah. Okay, and that's the thing. My notes are kind of sparse, but also all over the place, because the next note I have is the first, what I think is, like, the first, like, post-daycare montage, when they feed them a bunch of sugar and they're running around.
Yeah.
And it just made me sad, because I Want to Be Sedated is the song that's playing. And I know I can't feel, like, surprised that, like, punk music sold out, because that happened a long time ago. But I don't know, man. I just keep thinking, like, the spirit of punk is now underlaying this fucking scene where Jeff Garland has to wrangle a bunch of kids.
Well, you can't blame. Like, I don't think Joey Ramone was like, he gets the call from Daddy Daycare producers. He's like, yeah, sure, you can use my song in that movie. It's probably the fucking record company that owns it that doesn't give a shit.
I know, but it's just, yeah, it I don't know, made me feel bad.
Yeah, that was also weird because we don't establish that Eddie Murphy and Jeff Garland are terrible parents, but the first day of the daycare, they're like, oh, what do we feed these kids for lunch? Maybe like a whole bunch of ho-hos. Like, they don't even think to like provide them a decent meal.
You know what would have worked? They feed them the veggie cereal first and they go, ew. And then they go, all right, fine. And then ho-hos.
Yes, that would have been good. But no, they jump straight to ho-hos as if they're like, what do kids eat? I don't know. I know I have like a 4-year-old son, but I think kids just eat ho-hos all the time.
Oh, that's the crazy fucking thing about this movie. As I'm watching it, my thought, and I thought they were actually going to make this a thing, but they really didn't. It seems like they started this business to take care of other kids so as to neglect their own children. Doesn't it feel like he cares a lot more about the other kids than his own kid?
Well, I think he's paying more attention to the other kids. But yeah, he doesn't seem to care about his own kid at all. And this movie would have definitely worked better if, like, they didn't have children. Because then you could have jokes of, oh no, I don't know how to raise kids. Jeff Garland, he's still afraid of changing a diaper? His kid's like 6 years old.
His kid shouldn't be in diapers anymore. I feel like the only reason he is because his parents have been slow to get him out of them because they've been trepidatious about them.
Yeah, like Jeff Garland's character, if his child is this old and he is still like afraid, physically terrified, like gets Vietnam style flashbacks when he has to confront a poopy diaper, he should not have a child. Like, I'm worrying about that child's well-being. What is the sex talk going to be like with Jeff Garland?
Well, no, and it's like there's a scene where they're sitting around and this is after the complaint and Dr. Katz comes in and they're like, he literally says, like, we don't know anything about this. And it's like, maybe you should have thought of that before you fucking invited all these kids over and took their parents' money.
I know. That's also a thing that's just in the background. Like, they put no thought into running this daycare successfully. But these two, they're seemingly, like, well-put-together parents. Like, they had good jobs until they were fired. This movie would have worked a whole lot better if these were just, like, college idiots, like, getting kicked out of their house because they didn't pay the rent, you know? And they're like, oh, I got an idea. We'll start a daycare. And then you just have a stupid comedy like that. But this makes no sense that these people are able to not take care of children, yet they have 4-year-old kids. Has he never fed his kid a meal? Has he never changed his kid's diaper? Like, it makes no sense that these are parents.
We find out because the solution later on in the movie is that he applies his skills that he knew from work to the daycare because his job prior to this was market research, figuring out what kids liked. Which means you think you would know, A, how to do research, which he never did, and B, how to handle kids, which he doesn't know how to do for some reason. Until he just suddenly remembers, oh, that's right, that's how I used to make money, is knowing how to handle kids. So why don't I just do that?
Also, that raises another question about these two characters. They get fired from their job, and they decide to start a daycare. They don't decide to, hey, look for another job so I can afford a daycare.
Or look for another job in your field. Well, because that floors me about the end when Angelica Houston, who runs this like really like posh, it's not even like a daycare, it's like a academy. And then she loses her job because all the kids want to go to the other daycare, and the only job she can get is crossing guard? Why doesn't she just go to another daycare?
I thought I missed something. When Angelica Houston becomes a crossing guard, I was like, is this like court-ordered punishment? Like, I thought I missed a scene where she went to jail and they were like, you are forced to become a crossing guard now.
No, I think it's just the only job she could get.
It's just, yeah, her daycare went out of business and she's like, shit, I gotta take this job as a crossing guard.
And also, I want to point out that, like, we start out with, like, the opening scene where they're doing the focus group for veggie cereal. And it's a bunch of kids and they're eating the vegetable cereal. The focus group is led by these two guys in suits, this carrot suit and this broccoli suit. wouldn't that defeat the purpose of the focus group? Like, if you're trying to get these kids to give their honest opinions about what they think about this thing, would you have, like, a crazy character who wants to make them feel good? Because wouldn't that pollute the results of the test? I mean, obviously it didn't. They hate the cereal. But, like, you wouldn't start from there. You would try to make it as kind of clinical and non-biased as possible. Like, kids, what do you think of this cereal? Yes or no?
Well, this is another movie where Eddie Murphy has a job I don't understand. That's come up a lot in a lot of Eddie Murphy movies. Like, remember The Golden Child? Like, we weren't sure if he worked for the police or not.
Well, and it's yet another job words, of like, it's yet another job that involves pitching, because that's what screenwriters know about in jobs.
Yeah,
and pitch things.
So what I think Eddie Murphy was doing in that opening scene was just testing the broccoli and carrot characters. Like, these were going to be the mascots for the veggie cereal. So he was, like, testing to see if kids would be excited for veggie cereal if these mascots told him to eat it.
See, I thought they were just hosting the thing and, like, showing them how to eat the cereal or something.
That didn't make any sense to me. It's a shitty movie. It's very unclear.
Well,
why
it's also,
do I care? I don't know.
It's established in the next scene that they get fired based on the results of the focus group. The kids didn't like your cereal. You've got to go.
I don't think
that's how it works.
Some CEO got a comment card, like, filled out by a kid in crayon. He's like, I don't like the results of these cards. We got to fire Eddie Murphy and Jeff Garland. The kids did not like those carrot and broccoli characters.
Oh. But yeah, no, I don't know. That's the thing. None of it matters. I feel like we go into this, we get so far into this, we're 40 minutes into this episode, and it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter at all. Why do I care? I don't know, though. I don't know. Steve Zahn, I kind of liked.
I did like, and he had a little romance with one of the moms. I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah. There were parts of this movie I enjoyed. I enjoyed Jeff Garland. I enjoyed pretty much everything he did.
You know, I noticed the Cleon kid didn't get his, like, wrap-up. Like, the Flash kid took off his suit and was like, oh, I don't want to dress up with the costume anymore. And the rude kid is polite in the end. The girl who doesn't know how to read can read in the end. But they never go back to the Klingon.
Jeff Garland's kid learns to take a shit in the toilet.
Yes, I think he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah, he learns how to take a shit by himself.
They never go to the Klingon kid, and it's like, I'm ready to speak English now.
Yeah. They pepper the kids in with these little, like, things that they can overcome, you know? But they don't really pay them off. And you don't really care. The kids are not really characters in this movie. The kids are basically props that can move and talk on their own.
Including Eddie Murphy's own child, who should be an actual character.
Yeah, no, that's all the kids are there for. I did want to know if you had any ideas to, like, pitch out a fourth movie in the Daddy Daycare universe. Because I was thinking, like, you do a gritty reboot, but you put it through the eyes of Eddie Murphy's kid, you know? And he's seeing Daddy Daycare play with all the other kids more than him.
Well, yes, I think that would work. Though I would say, in the grand tradition of Hellraiser 4, Bloodlines, and Leprechaun 4, you set it in space. It's Daddy's Space Care.
Daddy Space Camp?
Yes.
There we go. Ring, ring, Universal Pictures. Hello, who's this? Daddy's Space Camp, you're hired! That's all it takes to get
and
you...
I think we merge the entire... We bring Eddie Murphy back, but we bring Cuba Gooding Jr. back, because we're doing sci-fi now, so it's like parallel realities of the same character. But then Danny Trejo is like a head in a jar, like with, like, spider legs.
Or we do, like, a meta joke, and we just replace Eddie Murphy with Cuba Gooding Jr. halfway through the movie and just see if anyone notices.
Oh, I do have, there's one scene in one of the montages. This is the We're Becoming Successful Daddies montage, when they go over to the bed, because the wife has had to go back to work. She's a lawyer. And so they go to the bed where she's reading American Lawyer magazine and he's reading Mothering magazine. And I just feel like every movie needs a scene. Like, we need this. We're like, if you ever cut to us, we're reading, like, Modern Podcaster magazine. Like, this is the thing we do.
That's one of my favorite jokes in Wet Hot American Summer, when they go to the library and she's in the astrology section and he's in the camp directing section. Jeff Garland falls on Kevin Nealon. That ends Kevin Nealon's arc.
Kevin Nealon, who should be grateful that his rude ass kid is now polite, but still is like, fuck you, you fucking losers.
I know, and they keep telling him that too. Like, I kind of like that he was still a jerk every time, because he was like, you guys run a daycare now? Well, you're a loser. And they're like, yeah, but you bring your kid and you pay us to do it. And he's like, losers. That just keeps coming back up. Like, he doesn't get it.
But I feel like they don't know that that's the joke.
No.
Yeah. And just the fact that, like, they hold a fundraiser to open up a new space.
Wait, why? And then it doesn't work. So, like, why did they do that? Other maybe, than they ran out of shit to put in the movie, so they were like, why don't we have
it? Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it doesn't work because you spent too much of your money inviting the band Cheap Trick to play at your fucking fundraiser.
I know, that was the stupidest thing. They're raising fucking money, so they have a carnival with, like, rides and clowns and a petting zoo and fucking Cheap Trick, and then they're counting their money afterwards, and they're like, how'd we do? And I was like, you couldn't have done well at all. How did you ever expect to make a profit? Well, hold a fundraiser for our daddy daycare that I run out of my house. Hey, who's Cheap Trick's agent?
We had a scene earlier in the movie where they literally go like, we paid all our bills, let's fuck each other. But when they were finished paying their bills, they're like, we have 73 cents in the bank. How did you afford to fucking do that?
I know. So wouldn't this movie be a lot better if it was kind of like an old school thing, you know, where it was just like, and then it's funny that they're making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Because in this movie, it's almost sad that they're making such bad decisions. Like, why would these people start a fundraiser with a petting zoo? Oh, they must be mentally challenged, right? No, they're fully functioning adults with children. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the problem is you can't focus on the, like, the real world consequences of them as if they're serious. Because there's plenty of moments in the movie where they look at their finances and they're like, we might lose the house. And it's like, yeah, well, then it's not funny that you're doing all these things that are making that outcome more likely.
I know, but all they do is stupid shit. All of their ideas are terrible. I don't want these characters to succeed. So if you made them comically inept, you know, like a fucking Balkan skull or something, you know, it's like, okay, cool. You know, I like them. Why was Balkan Skull my reference? What the fuck? Did I just turn into you for a second? Sorry, wait. Let me go back and change that. You know, like if they were comic foibles like, you know, Fibber McGee and Molly or something, you know. There, now we're back on track.
Well,
now you talk about Babylon 5.
Babylon 5, very underrated show. I'm just going to say it. You might have had Balkan Skull in the brain because at the end of the fucking movie, at this carnival scene, Angelica Houston and Lacey Chabert become, like, the villains from Vampire Dog, where they're, like, sabotaging it, which is explained as the reason why it fails, not the incredible overhead to begin with.
Right, yeah, the reason the fundraiser failed is not because you spent exorbitant amount of money on it. It's because Angelica Houston dumped some cockroaches in your popcorn.
But yeah, because, like, up to that point, she still felt like a legitimate villain, and then it's like, oh, no, you're a fucking cartoon, and so is this movie.
Yeah, no, this movie is not good. So, any last words? Definitely no recommendation from me, and for the whole trilogy. I'll go out on a limb and say,
no recommendation.
These are good.
There's no, like, so bad it's good, like, watch it because of how crazy bad it is. No, they're just mediocre bad movies that you have no reason to fucking sit through. Just mentioning Angelica Houston, just why the fuck is she in this movie? I feel like is she not as classy an actress as I think she is?
Well, this is still like a studio comedy. So, I mean, it's definitely probably a good paycheck. If she was in Granddaddy Daycare, that's when I'd be like, wait, what? But this is like a legit movie that has a budget. So, like, they probably paid her good money to be in this.
I mean, they got Kevin Nealon.
If they're dishing out Siobhan Fallon money, you think they're tightening the purse strings when it comes time for Angelica Houston? I don't think so.
But yeah, I got nothing else. This movie, I mean, that's the thing. It's not like it's so bad, like it broke me or anything. It just, kind of like leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Like, this is one of those movies where, like, I want to watch something good next time to, like, remind myself that good movies exist.
Well, speaking of that, would you like to pick a number between 28 and 51?
Well, let's go with 47.
Okay. 47 is not known for being an SNL cast member. Ben Stiller.
Oh, okay. I mean, that gives us a lot of options, I think.
Well, I'll throw out some titles here. How about Heavyweights? Is that a yay or a nay?
I feel like that's too good.
If Lucy Fell?
Isn't that the one where they like they pledge to commit suicide if they don't? Yeah.
They commit to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge if they're not married by the time they're 30. But they're like in love with each other.
I'm going to say no on that one.
And Ben Stiller plays like an eccentric like painter or something. Now we're into some shit. When it comes time,
we can start a new mediocre trilogy of the Night at the Museum movies.
Oh, I was thinking the Fockers.
Or the Fockers. I mean, again, if we're gonna do that, we should start with Little Fockers, and then watch the Fockers, and then watch Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
Do we want to just set that precedent right now?
No. Oh, the Heartbreak Kid. That's a terrible movie, but I wouldn't mind talking about how terrible it is. Okay. All right. So what do we got? Little Fockers, The Heartbreak Kid, or Along Came Polly?
Between those three, I think Little Fockers probably has the most potential for just dumb, crazy shit.
Okay. Fuck it. Let's do a stupid thing. From 2010, Little Fockers.
We're doing it again. They said it couldn't be done. We're watching the trilogy backwards.
Just as soon as we finish a backwards trilogy of a stupid series. This is the third Fockers movie. I saw Meet the Parents in 2000. I did not see Meet the Fockers, and I have never seen Little Fockers.
I believe I saw Meet the Fockers because Barbara Streisand is in it, and Mom's a huge Barbara Streisand fan, so I think I took her to see it.
This Little Fockers is considered the worst, though, correct?
Well, I mean, they never made a fourth one. They never made Big Fockers.
I know, but maybe that's just because common sense, you know?
Or maybe Mother someone... Fockers.
Oh, Mother Fockers. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it, man. We got Daddy Space Camp and Mother Fockers.
Why aren't we in Hollywood making movies right now?
Oh, my God. We're like a dream of fucking idea man over here.
We're a regular J.J. Abrams over here.
Yeah, Little Fockers is lower rated on IMDb than Meet the Fockers. So, all right, well, we will be watching Little Fockers next week.
Now, I don't know if you have it still on IMDb. Does Dustin Hoffman and Barbara Streisand both come back for that?
They both appear in Little Fockers, yes.
Well, let's look forward to Robert De Niro thinking he's funny.
Oh, man, yeah. Because this is 2010, too. This is like Dirty Grandpa era Robert De Niro. He's still doing this shit.
Is anybody... from SNL in Dirty Grandpa, because I've never seen that one.
Oh, that's a bad one. It's so bad. Yeah, that was a terrible movie. I don't think there's an SNL cast member in it, because otherwise I think we would have probably watched it by now. There's no way we wouldn't come across Dirty Grandpa and go, nah, pass.
There's also Undercover Grandpa with James Caan. I don't think anybody missed out on that. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
No, I've never seen that.
Grandpa James Caan turns out to be a secret agent for the government.
All right, so Little Fockers next week for Ben Stiller, who was barely on Saturday Night Live. That's the premise of our stupid podcast. Before we do go, did you want to talk about how stupid we are?
Well, no. Well, I mean, I live in it. I don't have to talk about it, but it's worse every week.
And then I get excited. The stupid part is, like, I was watching Daddy Daycare today, and I was going through the opening credits, and I was like, ooh, Siobhan Fallon. Like,
I know. That, I those words, for the dumbest things.
Those words left my lips. I went, ooh, Siobhan Fallon.
Well, no, we talked about it every fucking time. When we said, let's do Daddy Daycare, I was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's finish the trilogy. Won't that be exciting? No, it won't. How many times do we have to fucking learn that lesson?
I know, but still, I'm downloading Little Fockers now to watch it next week.
It's like a whole day monopolized, because I watch it in the morning, and then I record about it, and then it's like, by the time we're done, it's like 5 o'clock. I don't have any time to do anything else.
Well, I have to edit the fucking thing, so I have to listen to us talk about it again. Oh, it sucks so hard. At least, maybe, hopefully there's somebody somewhere who's listening to this stupidity and going like, I like that. So if you are that person, as I was about to say, send us an email from some guy that was that person? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Send us an email at SaturdayNightJivePodcast@gmail.com. If you like what you hear, we will never ask for money. We will never give you commercials. There's no way I'm doing this professionally, so that's why I like doing it, because we're underground and hip. So if you're listening to this,
you are underground and hip too, man. I've always been curious to start a Patreon just to see what would happen. Would anybody fucking find it and pledge to it?
Dude, it's been 6 years and we ain't got like a Twitter or an Instagram. I ain't doing a fucking Patreon. I ain't doing that shit.
Just as a curiosity, I don't care about the money, and I would kind of feel weird about it, but like, I've always been curious just as a thought experiment to see if it would do anything.
I've had 6 years to promote this thing and have done nothing, so.
We've got like 200 some subscribers, man.
All right. But I'm still not doing it. All right, so little fuckers, next week, until we see you again, get off this shit.
Get off this shit. There's a new daddy in town. He's a disappointment.